You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, September 14th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we are going to take a look at a few things in Orioles land, with, of course, the O's having the day off on Monday. First, we will take a quick look at a big-time promotion the Orioles just made right at the end of the minor league season, one of their top prospects going from high A to double A. Then we will continue our look at all of the Orioles draft picks and undrafted free agent signings from this year. We are coming down to the end, only a few guys left. Today we hit the final undrafted free agent. That is the right-handed pitcher Carson Carter, who the Orioles signed out of Oklahoma. And we will talk about his career with the Sooners and what got him to the Orioles. And we'll be joined by Josh Calloway, who covers all things Oklahoma Sooners athletics, including the baseball team over at Sports Illustrated, and we will talk about Carter with him. And then we will get you ready for Game 1 of a huge series coming up at Camden Yards this week. Orioles and Yankees, three-game set. The O's have another chance to be a huge spoiler against the Bronx Bombers in this one, and we'll get you set for Game 1. But we've got all that and more coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another show here on the network. That is Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, of course, no Orioles game to recap as the O's were off on Monday after a rough ending to the series against the Blue Jays over the weekend. A much-needed day off, not just for the O's in general, but for that pitching staff and that bullpen, a much-needed day of rest. But there still was one big piece of Orioles news that came around really on Monday evening. And we know the Orioles have kind of been making a lot of promotions. It felt like every other Monday throughout the season, they at least made a couple of minor league promotions. And at least at the time of this recording here on Monday evening, just before the Ravens take the field on Monday Night Football, it looks like the Orioles have made one big promotion at the minor league level. And that is the Orioles' number 5 ranked prospect, Gunnar Henderson, is being promoted from the high A Aberdeen Ironbirds to the double A Bowie Bay Sox to finish out the 2021 minor league season. Now, this is not huge news because for Henderson, you know, pretty much most of us figured wherever he ended this year, he would probably start 2022 at double A. But it is pretty interesting that he's going to end up playing at three different levels here in 2021. Now, this is not going to end up being a lot of time at AA for the Orioles' 20-year-old left-handed hitting shortstop, who they took in the second round out of high school in Alabama in the 2019 draft. He was the 42nd overall pick that year. And the reason it's not, you know, even bigger news is because this is the last week of the regular season in minor league baseball for levels below AAA. So for the Bowie Bay Sox, they have a home series this week starting tonight that goes through Sunday, 6 more games in their regular season, and then they are done. Now, they could have a few more games because, of course, Bowie has been great this year, and they are right in the thick of the playoff race right now in their AA league. So they could have, you know, 5, 6, 7 more games after this played next week. But, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, it could just be 6 games for Gunnar Henderson at the AA level. But still, he did earn this promotion. And, you know, for Gunnar Henderson, it's been an interesting year because he started the year at low A Delmarva, his first time playing at full season ball. He just destroyed pitching at low A Delmarva. 35 games with the Shorebirds. He was hitting .312 with a .369 on base, .944 OPS. He had 11 doubles. He had 8 home runs. He was clearly too good for that level. So the Orioles moved him up to Aberdeen, and that's where he's played most of this season. He ended up playing in 65 games for the Ironbirds, but he, you know, went through some growing pains, which is to be expected with these top prospects, especially guys who, remember, are 20 years old. And Gunnar Henderson, he turned 20 during this season. He turned 20 back on June 29th. He was 19 for a good amount of this minor league season, was still a teenager. And you have to remember that he is still 20 at this point. So he's going to go through growing pains as he continues to climb up the ladder in the minors. Now, his Aberdeen stats, again, 65 games. He had a 230 average, but a 343 on base, which is a good number there. 775 OPS. He did have 9 homers. He did hit 16 doubles. He drew 40 walks in the 65 games as well. Pretty good walk numbers for him there, but he went through some definite struggles. As soon as he got called up to Aberdeen, it actually took him about a week and a half even to get his first hit as he struggled there. But the big thing to know for Gunnar Henderson is how he's been hitting lately for the Ironbirds. He has been red hot recently for Aberdeen, and he reached base in his last 19 games playing for the Ironbirds, had a hit in 17 of those games. Shout out to BSL on the Verge and their Twitter account for compiling this. During his 19 game on base streak to finish out his time in Aberdeen, he hit 284 with a 400 on base and a 568 slugging. He had 4 homers, 5 doubles, 2 triples, and a 153 WRC plus. Of course, league average is set at 100. That is a fantastic number for Henderson. So he will move up into a double-A infield where he will rejoin Jordan Westberg with Bowie. Of course, Patrick Dorian is there as well. Toby Welk is in that infield, and they've got a lot of options for the end of the regular season and potentially a playoff push as well for Henderson, who, again, hopefully it goes well for him in this week. But even if it doesn't, don't take much stock. If he's, 0 for 14 with 7 strikeouts, doesn't really matter. He's a 20-year-old at double-A. Playing there for a week, he'll get a full double-A season in 2022 to really show us what he can do, but a really cool moment for Henderson to get promoted. But otherwise, at the minor league level, we're going to talk about another minor leaguer here on this podcast, and that is the right-handed pitcher Carson Carter, who was one of the 4 players that the Orioles signed to an undrafted free agent contract after the conclusion of the 2021 MLB draft. Now, Carter is a right-handed pitcher, about 6'3", 24 years old, and a native of Bedford, Texas, who started his career at Texas Tech, went to a junior college in Hill College, and then he ended up at Oklahoma, where he pitched his final 2 college seasons, pitched the shortened season in 2020, and then the entire season in 2021 as a senior, and did not get drafted, but the Orioles were able to scoop him up after the draft. Now, for Carter, you really have this just one full season of Division I baseball to go off of, because he only got to pitch in 5 games in relief in 2020 before the COVID-19 shutdown. But his stats out of the Oklahoma Sooners bullpen in 2021, he appeared in 24 games in relief, and he had a 4.08 ERA in 39 and two-thirds innings of work. He allowed 32 hits, 18 earned runs. He struck out 47 batters, walked 18, and gave up 8 home runs in that process. And for Carter, we're going to learn more about him coming up here, as we are going to be joined by Josh Calloway. Calloway, who covers all things Oklahoma Sooners athletics for the All Sooners. That is the site from Sports Illustrated that covers Oklahoma. And he saw Carson Carter pitch a lot here in 2021. And Josh is going to join us after the break to talk about Carter's stuff on the hill, his 2-year career at Oklahoma, and what he could bring to the Orioles. So again, that's coming up after the break with Josh Calloway. He's going to tell us all about one of the Orioles' undrafted free agents signings, the right-handed pitcher Carson Carter. So we'll get to chatting about another one of the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings in just a second, but first, BetOnline.ag is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. So don't forget to use promo code NFL100. And while you're there, also plug in that promo code LOCKEDON so they know that we sent you. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. At BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, and BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we welcome Josh Calloway into the podcast. He covers Oklahoma Sooners athletics over at Sports Illustrated. And Josh, first of all, thank you so much for taking some time to join the podcast.
No problem. Happy to be on. Appreciate it.
So we have you on to talk about one of the Orioles' four undrafted free agent signings from this year, right after the 2021 MLB draft. And that guy is Carson Carter, who I believe was the last undrafted free agent signing that the Orioles made. He had trickled through a little bit, but a senior right-handed pitcher, 6'4", who pitched two seasons at Oklahoma in 2020 and 2021. So I wanted to start with 2021, because, you know, he transferred into the Sooners program in 2020. He pitched in five games in that season before it was shut down. So really the only data you would have on him and what we really saw of him pitching at all was this season, which kind of made him, I think, an unknown a little bit for some major league teams. So he pitches in 24 games out of the Oklahoma bullpen, about 40 innings, 47 strikeouts for him. So first I wanted to ask, you know, a lot of the guys who are signed as college relievers are closers, but that wasn't really the case for Carson, who, you know, did not have a save in 2 years. So kind of what was his role in the Oklahoma bullpen?
Yeah, Carson Carter was really kind of just a high leverage reliever for Oklahoma in terms of just wherever, you know, it could be the third inning or the sixth inning. It didn't matter. If there's guys on base, you can trust Carson Carter to try and come get you out of a jam. He can strike guys out. You know, he forces soft contact a lot. He's got a good breaking ball slider that can, you know, get some strikeouts, and, you know, mid 90s fastball. So he was kind of a just wherever you need, because Jason Ruffcorn for Oklahoma was really settled into that closer role, and they kind of put him into the starting rotation late in the year. And Carson Carter was kind of the everywhere else. He didn't really have a set role. I actually remember talking to him and asking him about that throughout the season, and, you know, just kind of, are you just ready to pitch at any point in the game? Because I've seen you come in to bail the starter out in the second. I've seen you use as like a setup man. And he said, yeah, I'm just ready. Whenever, you know, Skip Johnson, Oklahoma's baseball coach, needs me, I'm ready to go. So he was really just kind of that classic high-end reliever, you know, kind of get you out of a jam type of pitcher. I mean, outside of Jason Ruffcorn, who was Oklahoma's, you know, go-to out of the bullpen closer, he was the next guy in line. He was very effective. He had a really good year after a 2020 where, you know, like you said, he barely pitched, just had five appearances, wasn't overly effective. He was a lot better last year, and the ERA ballooned up into the fours because of a couple bad outings. Reliever ERA can be really misleading. So he had a really solid season, and he was used as such. He was relied upon in a big way, and he can stretch you out too. He had a couple appearances throughout the year where he would go, you know, four or five innings, kind of a long relief, you know, whenever the starter didn't go real deep. So he was kind of a very versatile guy who was used in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I did want to ask about that because, you know, just looking at the game logs, five scoreless innings in relief against Missouri back in early March. He had four scoreless innings against Oklahoma State in late March as well. And he had a couple more appearances that were three innings, a lot of two inning appearances. So, you know, it does seem like when they went to him in the high leverage, it wasn't even just sometimes for, you know, bases loaded, one out, get us two strikeouts and you're done. It seems like he would kind of continue to pitch and keep the game close if he could.
Oh, absolutely. And that Oklahoma State game was really kind of his signature, you know, moment of the season, because Oklahoma State has given the Sooners problems for years now, you know, last half decade or so. Oklahoma State has absolutely dominated that rivalry. And Oklahoma turned that around a little bit this year. They got a couple of wins off the Pokes in Bedlam. And Carson Carter was a really big part of that, him and Ruffcorn. And yeah, that four innings out of the bullpen was big time in a really close, competitive, you know, Bedlam game. Those are as big as regular season games as Oklahoma plays. You know, I mean, those, you know, the obviously the atmosphere is great. Both fan bases get really into those games. And so he came in a big spot, and he's somebody who really likes, you know, the moment. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. Most relievers who are good are, you know, they like to come in the big jams, you know, the adrenaline pumping and things like that. And he embraced that kind of moment. And so, you know, and I actually, that was another thing that I asked him throughout the season, you know, because I just asked what was the difference, I guess, in getting you up to become this high-end reliever. And he said a big part of it was just embracing the moment and not really putting too much pressure and just kind of just, it sounds simple, but just getting up there and just kind of throwing, you know, and just trusting my stuff and my spots to get outs. And you could see that this year. He seemed like a much more confident guy on the hill. Again, it was brief in 2020. He might have got there if he had gotten to actually have the rest of the season, but it was a different guy. It was pretty clear it was a different guy.
Yeah, we've talked about 24 appearances, 4.08 ERA, and, you know, 39 two-thirds innings, 47 strikeouts, a fantastic number in those amount of innings. 18 walks is not terrible, not amazing. It's kind of where you would expect a reliever with big strikeout stuff to be. But I did want to ask about, because you mentioned, you know, like a couple bad appearances kind of got that ERA up in the fours. I know there was one against Texas Tech and one against Oral Roberts this year that both just kind of got away from him. And I noticed he was hurt by the home run ball. He did give up 8 home runs in less than 40 innings. Was it a case of that when he would get hurt is just, you know, home runs at the wrong time? Because you'll see that from relievers where just, you know, some guys give up a lot of solo homers and their ERA looks good. And some guys are just as dominant, but they just happen to give up the homers at bad moments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He gave up a couple of home runs in tough spots with some guys on base. I mean, him and Jason Ruffcorn were kind of cut from the same cloth in that they were very effective, but their high speed and their breaking pitches, if they lost them out of the plate, you know, I mean, aluminum bats in college, you don't get a lot of those back. And that happened a few times. You know, places in the Big 12 are generally balls can jump, you know, the ballparks in the Big 12. So, he got burned a couple of times with some 3-run shots and some things like that he would like to have back. And that's why I said, you know, the ERA got a little inflated toward the back end of the year, because for most of the season, his ERA was, you know, in the twos. He was very effective, a lot of scoreless appearances. And I mean, as you know, I mean, reliever ERA can get clouded, you know, when you're only throwing, you know, an inning or two at a time generally. So, a couple home run balls cost him, a couple of bad appearances kind of cost what was otherwise a really solid season.
Yeah, he had basically two appearances. There was one against Oral Roberts, 1 2/3 innings, 6 runs, and then one against Texas Tech, 1 2/3, 7 runs. He was essentially dominant in every other appearance the entire year. But when you're a reliever, those two appearances, that many runs will just hike up the ERA. But I did want to ask about stuff, because you mentioned it briefly there, fastball, breaking ball. You know, how many pitches does he have, if you know velocity, at least on the fastball, and kind of what does he come to the mound with in terms of repertoire?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how many he would say he uses. It seemed like he was pretty much a two-pitch guy, you know, out of the bullpen, a kind of a slider curve. I don't know what you would classify it. I think more of a slider. And then a fastball that, you know, hangs around the mid-90s. It was a pretty good step up. I mean, he seems like a pretty high upside guy at the next level, because, you know, in the brief appearances that we saw him in 2020, his fastball usually hung around, you know, about low 90s. And it was clearly had a solid uptick last year. And he got that breaking pitch as well, that slider. So he's kind of a two-pitch guy generally. Now, he could develop it more. He may even be able to be used, like what we were talking about earlier. I mean, he can throw more than just an inning or two at a time. So he may be able to get stretched out and be kind of a long relief more type of a guy. And then he can develop some more pitch on the side. But when he came in, you know, needing a big out, or, you know, it's the eighth inning of a tie game, generally it seemed like he stuck to the breaking pitch that he likes, his slider, and then the fastball kind of, you know, just working off each other and getting outs that way.
And he was a starter in his 1 year in junior college. So you never know if the Orioles really thought they wanted to move it back. That could potentially happen. But it does seem like with how he's worked with the two pitches, he's probably set to be a reliever at the next level. But, you know, this was a guy that, you know, kind of the last thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, were there ever times this season, and obviously, you know, he was one of the better relievers in the Big 12 at points in 2021. Mm-hmm. Were there times where the talk was, you know, we think Carson Carter is going to get drafted? And was it a surprise at all that he did not get picked and, you know, ended up being a free agent and the Orioles scooped him up?
Yeah, I think it was somewhat of a surprise, just considering that he did have such a solid season and he seems to have good upside stuff. You know, I mean, it always feels like at the next level, generally, teams don't even really look at how much success you had in college as much as it's just what kind of stuff are you bringing to the table. I mean, Oklahoma, not to, you know, make it seem like I'm picking on somebody, but Wyatt Olds was Oklahoma's Friday night star last year. Didn't have a very good season. You know, he really actually struggled. It was a bit of a disappointment, but he can throw that high 90s. He has good stuff. And so he got drafted, you know what I mean? So I think it was a bit of a surprise that Carson Carter didn't just get selected somewhere, you know, in the middle rounds or late rounds or wherever. You know, I mean, I've seen other pitchers from Oklahoma that I thought didn't have quite as much, bring quite as much to the table as Carson Carter did, got selected, you know. So that was a slight bit of surprise to me. But I do think he has high upside. We'll see what he can do. Skip Johnson, you know, he can develop pitchers. You know, he can get guys going on the right track. I mean, Cade Cavalli is like an Oklahoma guy who's flying up the Nationals, you know, system right now. I mean, Oklahoma hasn't seen success in this area before, you know what I mean? So I'm very interested to see what he can do, you know, at the next level, getting a little more, you know, different voices kind of helping him out with his repertoire, like you said. And, you know, I think he's as far as taking a chance on an undrafted guy, he's a slam dunk in my opinion there.
Yeah, the Orioles obviously took a chance. He just made his professional debut the other night. I'm sure we'll see him up in low A Delmarva before this season ends. But Josh, thank you so much for joining us, telling us about one of the more underrated names from the Orioles draft class, obviously being an undrafted free agent. The hope is that he surprises some people and starts to move up the ranks. But thanks again for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And the best part is, RockAuto.com's prices are reliably low for every single customer. And truly, they have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. And for me, it's super easy to use because I know nothing about cars, but I can navigate this website with ease. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So our thanks again to Josh Calloway, who covers the Oklahoma Sooners and is the multimedia director and assistant editor of All Sooners, which is the Oklahoma Sooners site over at Sports Illustrated, for joining us to talk about Carson Carter, again, one of the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings, and who, you know, definitely did have, you know, somewhat of an interesting role in the Oklahoma bullpen because, you know, as we talk about, you know, you're used to teams, the guys that are getting drafted or signed as undrafted free agents are usually closers for these teams. But Carson Carter did not have a save in his college career. You know, pitched in 24 games, didn't have a save. He was more that fireman, you know, come in whenever he's needed, get out of a jam type, like we talked about with Josh. And those guys are almost as, if not more important in today's game of baseball than a true closer. And that's why you're seeing the Orioles go after guys like this. You know, it's not just him, but it's a guy like Daniel Fetterman, you know, out of Miami, who we talked about back on Friday's episode. It's a guy like Keegan Gillies, who the Orioles took in the 15th round at a Tulane that we talked about on a previous episode. You know, guys who have picked up saves and have worked the ninth inning, but not exactly closers, more of come in the toughest spot to get the toughest outs because they are the best reliever on their team. But for Carter, it's been a little bit slow for him to start his Orioles career. He's actually only pitched in one game, and that was with the FCL Orioles, and didn't go great. He pitched just a third of an inning, allowing three runs on two hits, no strikeouts, and one walk in his only professional appearance so far. We really haven't seen him since then. Haven't heard much about it, but I'm assuming he's probably not going to pitch again this season, and the Orioles, I'm sure, will work on stuff with him. Hopefully it's not an injury, and I'm sure we'll see him back probably at Delmarva to start the 2022 minor league season, where we can get a much better look at Carson Carter. But back over to the major league level, the Orioles starting a gigantic series tonight. A three-game set at Camden Yards starts tonight, Tuesday night at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. Orioles and Yankees. Of course, the O's just took 2 of 3 at Yankee Stadium last weekend to play spoiler, and they have an even better chance to play spoiler again because since that series against the Yanks, things have gone even worse for New York. And as I speak right now, games are currently being played here on Monday evening. Now, the Yankees came back and won a game against the Twins on Monday afternoon, but the Yankees will come into this series 80-64, and as I'm recording this, are a half game out of the second wild card spot. Now, as you listen to this, they will either be tied with Boston and Toronto or potentially could be a full game back of that wild card spot. So this is a huge series for the Yankees because they get a chance at the Orioles before they start playing some better teams again down the stretch. But the O's have been good against the Yankees this year. This is the final series between the two teams. The Orioles are 7-9 against the Yankees this year. That's after going 2-17 against the Yankees in 2019. If the O's could somehow sweep this series, they would actually win the season series against the New York Yankees in 2021. It would be great, and honestly, it would be hilarious as well. But for the Yankees, they are coming off what has been just a tough, tough week. After they lost this series to the Orioles, they were swept in four games by the Blue Jays. Then they lost 2 of 3 to the Mets over the weekend. Then, as I mentioned, they had a walk-off 6-5 win over the Twins in a makeup game on Monday afternoon. But they come in for tonight's game, and they are going to send the top dog, Gerrit Cole, to the hill in game one of this series. Cole, of course, has been a Cy Young contender all year. The 31-year-old right-hander will make his 27th start of the year this season. He has a 2.78 ERA, 217 strikeouts, a 0.99 whip in 158 and two-thirds innings this season for the Yankees. But his last start did not go so great against the Blue Jays. Last week against Toronto, he lasted just 3 2/3 innings, allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, struck out 2, and walked 2. But that, of course, the start before against the Angels was when he struck out 15 and gave up just 1 run over 7 innings. In terms of Cole against the Orioles this year, of course, the O's have seen him a lot over the past couple of seasons, but here in 2021 for Gerrit Cole, it has just been the one start against the Orioles for him this year. You have to go all the way back to April 6th at Yankee Stadium when he made the start against the Orioles. He worked 7 scoreless innings, allowed 4 hits, struck out 13, and did not walk anyone. He dominated the O's that day. And up against him on the other side, well, the 24-year-old left-hander Alexander Wells will get another chance to start for the O's. It'll be his 8th appearance in the major leagues this year. In 22 2/3 innings, he has a 7.15 ERA on the season. For Wells, his last start came last week against Kansas City. He went 4 innings, allowing 2 runs on 5 hits, struck out 2, and walked 2 on the season. Now, Wells has faced the Yankees once already this season. Started at the Bronx on August 3rd. Didn't go well. He lasted just 2 1/3. He allowed 6 runs on 7 hits. He struck out 2, didn't walk anyone, and hit a batter, but the Yankees got to him quickly. And the lineup of Judge, Stanton, and others is not a great matchup for Alex Wells, but we'll see if he can really step up. Like I talked about on Monday's episode, some of these young pitchers need to start stepping up and taking these roles. Let's see if Alexander Wells can do that tonight at Camden Yards. And then we will be back with you here tomorrow on the podcast. Of course, we will recap game one of the series between the Orioles and the Yankees, get you the 5 things you need to know from that one. We'll get you ready for game two on Wednesday night when John Means takes the mound for the O's as they continue to try to play spoiler. We'll continue to update on the Orioles news and notes and everything going on around Orioles baseball here the rest of the week on the podcast. But before we go, I do have to tell you about another podcast here on the network, and that is Locked On Bets. And betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. And in terms of the Locked On Orioles podcast, we thank you so much for listening. If you are, we are approaching 100,000 downloads for the year, which is just an incredible number to get to. Nothing we've gotten even close to since I've hosted the podcast starting early in 2020. So thank you for that. If you're liking what you're hearing on the podcast, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever platform you listen, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts. They make it really easy to just scroll right down while you're listening, leave a quick rating on the stars, and leave a quick little review as well. When you do that, it really helps us on the Apple charts, really helps out the ratings, helps me as well, and helps me more easily get you this content every single day. Again, Locked On Orioles here, the only Orioles podcast that you're getting 5 days a week to get that daily info on your favorite team, the Orioles. And I know it's been a rough year for the Orioles. I know they only have 46 wins right now, but we thank you guys for sticking around and listening to the pod, because there's still a lot to talk about, because we know the future is bright, and despite a bad major leagues team, still a lot to discuss every day here on the podcast. And that's why we'll be back with you tomorrow once again here on the pod. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.